today to the book of Psalms and Psalm 118. Psalm 118, we shall read from verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to his own word. Now, Psalm 118 and I want to draw your attention to verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I want to speak upon the subject, joyful Christian homes. Joyful Christian homes. Christian households come in many different shapes and sizes. There is much variety. At one end of the spectrum, you may have the large Christian family. At the other end, you may have a single Christian person living alone. But all are Christian homes. In our world, of course, there are many homes, and they are unhappy places. There are problems, there are difficulties, there are unresolved issues and tensions, and there is a prevailing discontentment and sorrow in the home. And even some professedly Christian homes, are not the happiest of places. Well, of course, in the case of the ungodly, it will not surprise us that there is unhappiness. Where there is sin, there is sorrow. Where there is abounding sin, there is much sorrow. And until there is salvation from sin, the sorrow will never be eradicated. But such a situation of unhappiness should not be in the Christian home. It is not the representation that is given of the Christian household in the Scriptures. Our text explains that the Christian home is a joyful place. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Christian homes are tabernacles of the righteous, or if you like, tents of the righteous. They are dwelling places of the righteous. That's what a Christian home is, a tabernacle of the righteous. And tabernacles of the righteous, that's a very suggestive, descriptive statement of the Christian home. It would indicate to us that Christian homes, first and foremost, they are saved homes. They are saved homes. Those who are in authority and influence over the home are saved. Those who are in authority and influence in the home are saved. If we have, for example, a family where there is a father and there is a mother and there are children, we would say quite categorically that where both mum and dad know the Lord, where the father has the authority in the home, where he has under God the responsibility for the running of the home, where the mother has great influence in the home and over the children, where both are saved, whether or not the children are saved, where both father and mother are saved, where those in authority and influence are saved, are right with God, are accounted righteous in His sight. There, we say, is a tabernacle of the righteous. There is a Christian home. Christian homes, they are saved homes. They are determinately godly homes. They are determinately godly homes. There is a desire that the home will be in step with the Lord, that the home and the practice in the home will be right with God and will have the approval and the well done of the Lord upon it. It will be not merely professedly, but practically a tabernacle of the righteous. And then, of course, the tabernacle does have, in the Hebrew mind, an association with worship. It does have an association with worship. And the Christian home is a worshipping home. It is a worshipping home. Now, when we think of worship, of course, the crucial elements in worship are the Word of God and prayer. Those are the essential elements in worship, the Word of God and prayer, and ordinarily praise, of course, if we wanted to make the threefold distinction. And the Christian home is not a home where the Word of God is a foreign and alien book. The Christian home is, in that sense, a tabernacle where the Word of God is opened up. And it is, in that sense, a tabernacle in that it is regulated by the Word. Tabernacle worship was regulated by the Word. There were detailed instructions laid out for the conducting of worship. And such, of course, it is in terms of the Christian home. The Christian home is regulated by the teaching of the Word of God. And, of course, the Christian home is a home where prayer is heard, where prayer ascends into the heavens. And when I think of the tabernacle, when I think of the tabernacle of the righteous, when I think of the tents of the righteous, it does occur to me that these are temporary homes. It does occur to me that the Christian home is a temporary home. This world is not the home of the Christian. Home is heaven. The Christian is always looking forward to heaven, which is to come. The Christian always has about him the pilgrim character. Here he has no continuing city. Heaven is home. And these homes, not only do they have the pilgrim character about them, but pointedly, these are homes where decisions are made in the light of eternity. In the light of the reality of eternity which is to come, of God who must be met with, of the judgment seat of Christ. These are homes that never forget that this world is but a temporary place. And then, when we think of the tabernacle, we of course think of Christ. We of course think of Christ. The Old Testament worship of which the tabernacle was such a part, it was typical in its character. It was symbolic, and it did point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was central, and so it is. A Christian home is truly a home of those who are Christ's. Well, our text says of such a home, of such homes, the tabernacles of the righteous. Verse 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Our text explains that in such homes there is happiness. These are joyful Christian homes. And first of all, I want you to observe joyfulness expressed. Joyfulness expressed. The text begins with, quote, the voice of rejoicing. The voice of rejoicing. Now, the meaning of the expression here, the voice of rejoicing, it would indicate joyful shouting or singing. It would indicate joyful shouting or singing. Exuberance, I suppose you could say. Exuberant shouting for joy or singing. Now, in the context of the home, clearly it is singing that is in view. The voice of rejoicing. The voice, I suppose, the sound of glad songs of salvation. Now, singing is a natural expression, of joy or happiness. People, many people, like to sing when they are joyful. A birthday party is at least supposed to be a happy occasion. I suppose it depends on the individual and it depends on the age and their view of it. But a birthday party is supposed to be a happy occasion, and it's the natural thing, therefore, to sing happy birthday. It's a natural expression of joy or happiness. And such it is here. Singing is an expression of the joy of the Lord's people. We sing because we joy. We have joy. We are happy. We are blessed. Singing is an expression of the joy of the Lord's people. Praise is an expression of joy in the Lord. In Isaiah 35, we see this. Isaiah 35, and it is the 10th verse of that chapter. We read there, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Well, here are captives who have been released. Here are captives who are returning. And they are coming to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They're coming to Zion with the voice of rejoicing. They're expressing joy in the Lord. As they make their way there, they are acknowledging God's goodness. They are experiencing His blessedness. It is a wonderful picture of the joy of the Lord and the voice of rejoicing. Well, Christian homes, joyful Christian homes, are places where that joy is expressed. They are places where that joy is expressed. Now, it may be expressed in song. It may be expressed in song. And I think it's a good thing if it is expressed in song. I know for some that would seem a little strange and perhaps even a little difficult if you're not a great singer and don't like the sound of your own voice. But you know, when we meet on a Tuesday night, I know it's for a Bible study, but it is a meeting in the home, and it is good to sing, and it's not strange to sing. And it's not strange for a group of Christian people to come together and to lift their voice in praise unto the Lord. And whether that's in the context of a church service or whether it's in the home, it is a good thing. It is a good thing. It was the practice of Jonathan Edwards in private worship. And I dare say family worship too, but I know it was his practice in private worship always to sing a hymn of praise unto the Lord. Now, that may seem a little strange to us if we're not in that practice, but it is a good thing to express our joy in the Lord. It may be expressed in song. It really ought to be expressed in prayer. It really ought to be. There is a place in prayer for thanksgiving, for the expression of happiness in the Lord, for attributing to God the glory, for the blessedness that is attending our way. And I say also, it is profitable for conversation. It is a good thing for believers to talk oft one with another concerning the great things that the Lord has done for them. It is a faith-enhancing exercise. It is an edifying exercise. And it is a good thing. And then as I look at this psalm, and it was brought home to me, even as I was reading it publicly, this is something that ought to be declared to others. It is something that ought to be declared to others. Where the opportunity is there, let us not be behind the door in making it clear to those both who know the Lord and those who do not, that we rejoice in the Lord. That to know the Lord is to know joy, not only in one's own heart, but in one's own home. I look at the opening of this psalm, and this psalm opens unmistakably. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Here's the goodness of God. Here's the mercy of God, the graciousness of God. God has been good to his people in saving his people, bringing them to repentance. God has been merciful to sinners. That's the message of the gospel. That's the experience of the child of God. And what does the psalmist say? Let Israel now say. Let the people of God tell it out. That his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say, his mercy endureth forever. Let the Lord's people proclaim God's goodness. Let them speak of his mercy. Let them speak of his love. Let them speak of the good things that he has done for them. Verse 21, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. I'll tell it out. I'll tell it out. The stone which the builders refused, and this, of course, is Christ, is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, the point is well made. It ought to be declared to others. I think of David, you know, returning to bless his household. I've forgotten the reference. It's in Samuel. I can't bring the reference to mind. But I think of him returning to bless his household. The ark has been returned. It's an occasion for joy. David has been expressing his joy. He comes back to bless his household. And that would really indicate he's come, he's going to gather them, they're going to pray together, they're going to thank God for the return of the ark. And I think of the psalmist, a man who was gifted with words, a gifted poet, a man who could write these things. And I think what it would have been to be there as David blessed his household, as he expressed his joy in the Lord, as he gave thanks to God for the return of the ark. What a happiness there would be in that. And I think to myself, well, I cannot speak with the tongue of the psalmist, and nor can the average Christian. But we can express our joy in the Lord. We can return our thanks to him. And it is always a happy and blessed business. Joyfulness expressed. May the voice of rejoicing be heard in Christian homes. Well then, secondly, joyfulness explained. We have not only hear the voice of rejoicing, but we have the voice of salvation. This singing, it has a subject. These are glad songs of salvation. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. And therefore the voice of salvation is heard in the tabernacles of the righteous. You see, it is salvation that occasions joy in the Christian household. It is salvation that is the key, is the explanation of joyful Christian homes. Salvation occasions real joy For salvation is a substantial thing. It's not an ethereal thing. It's not a mystical thing. It's not something you can't ever quite get hold of. You don't really know what it is. No, salvation is substantial. It's a thing of substance. It brings concrete benefits. The new birth, justification, adoption, sanctification, glorification, fellowship with God, all sorts of benefits are brought in the wake of salvation. And as these benefits are brought one by one, these benefits occasion real joy. They occasion real joy. They don't just promise, but they deliver on the promise. They deliver on the promise. I remember some years ago being at a market with my parents, and there was a market trader there, and he gathered to himself a crowd. He was quite a talker, and he gathered the crowd, and he made a sales pitch, and he was very fluent, and the whole sales pitch was intermingled with various jokes, and it was all very amusing, and he really caught the crowd up in what he was selling. And he was selling, he said, that which was really just the absolute essential for cleaning your home. And he must have spoke for 30 minutes before he brought his sales pitch to the end and closed it. And my father foolishly was caught up in the spin of it, and he bought the item and paid good money for it. And he brought it home, and the box was opened. And I remember very well, tiny little brush and a little shovel and so on. And of course, the whole thing was a con. And my father, who had been promised much, was, well, he was a pretty sad character that day. And it didn't help that both myself and my mother found it rather amusing. But anyway, that was the way it went. Promises weren't substantiated, but the promise of God and the gospel, the benefits of salvation, what is promised is delivered. It does lead to real joy, to know the Lord, to be a child of God, to progress day by day. This is real joy. This is real joy. Salvation occasions real joy, and thus the voice of rejoicing and salvation is heard in the tabernacles of the righteous. I say to you, salvation occasions not only real joy, but sustained and increasing joy. Each new victory over sin, each answer to prayer, each degree of understanding, each development of fellowship, each successful witness for Christ, joy is not only sustained, but it is increased. And that's true in terms of the individual, but that may be true in terms of the household. Not only where there is a one-person household, but a more-than-one-person household. Salvation occasions a sustained and increasing joy. And what brings joy more than any other to the truly Christian home? When another member of the family, it is discovered their names are written in heaven. That is what brings most joy. That is what sustains. That is what increases. This is real. This is sustained. This is increasing. And salvation, you know, it centers our joy in Jesus Christ. It centers our joy in Jesus Christ. He's the author of salvation. He's the purchaser. He's the executor. And of course, in the Christian home, he is the true head of the home. And he is rejoiced in. He is rejoiced in. Mary said that she rejoiced in God, her Savior. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:8, 1 Peter Chapter 1 and the verse 8, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, where the unseen Christ is seen by faith in the home, there you discover joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joyfulness explained. And then thirdly and finally this afternoon, joyfulness expanded. Joyfulness expanded. We read in our text not only that the voice of rejoicing and salvation, that this is in the tabernacles of the righteous, but also in this context, the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Now the right hand of the Lord here, that represents his power. And as we read of the power of God, we read of the right hand of the Lord that it doeth valiantly. It really refers to God gaining the victory in various battles. The power of the Lord gaining the victory in the battle. Well, in joyful Christian homes, it is true to say that God gains the victory in those homes. And as God gains the victory, there is, of course, naturally, joyfulness, happiness over what God has done. And there is then, therefore, not only the expression of joy, but there is the expanding of joy. We would include in those battles in the home, we would certainly include the battle with sin. There is a battle with sin that every individual believer has to fight. There's a battle with sin that every church has to fight. The temptation is always there. And there is a battle with sin that has to be fought and has to be won in the home. And that's a battle that has to be fought. It has to be fought and won in the home. I think of Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if we just give the... we'll just read verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord... Joshua 24, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here Joshua speaks to the Lord's people. And the Lord's people were essentially a collection of households. And there's a battle with sin that had to be fought in each and every household. The temptation was to sin against the Lord, to worship the gods of the heathen, the false gods, those that were stamped with demonic delusion. That was a battle that had to be fought, and a battle that had to be won. And Joshua is saying, look, God has won the battle in my home. God has won the battle. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is a battle with sin that has to be fought and has to be won. And then I say, there is a battle for souls. There is a battle for souls that has to be fought and won in the home. As I indicated to you, a Christian household is such where those who are in authority and influence are saved, right with God, but there may be others within that household that are not saved, and there has to be a battle fought in prayer for their souls, a battle fought in prayer for their souls. And if that battle is won, what an expanding of joy there is. I think of Psalm 98, in the verses 1 and 2, O sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvellous things, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. What a wonderful thing it is. What a marvellous thing it is when God makes known his salvation afresh in the home, when with his right hand, when with all of his power, he gets the victory in the home. The battle for souls is won. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. May he do valiantly in all our homes. May God gain the victory, and may there be great rejoicing, and the great shout of salvation sounded forth throughout Christian households in this land. May God answer prayer to this end, and may he bless his word today for Jesus' sake. Amen.